briefly, second reading to Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord, and said, O my Lord, let the man of God, which thou didst send, come again unto us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah. And the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste, and ran, and showed her husband, and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife, and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with meat, with a meat offering, and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord, and the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it, and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die, because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. This is a fun chapter to read, is it not? So we have then in the first section, and I have that as verses 1 through 7, a formulaic description of Israelitish apostasy. The children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now let's remember that very often in Scripture, the ancient Israelites are set up for us as a negative example, especially when we think of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians 10, the apostle tells us, okay, you remember those Israelites? Don't do what they did. Right? And so here's one of those instances where they did evil again in the sight of the Lord. We're not told what the evil was in this chapter. In prior chapters, we know that they went off into idolatry. They set themselves to following after false gods and so on. And so we may assume that this is at least involved here, but we're not told specifically. But we are told that the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Well, 40 years in Scripture it's a period of time that often has prophetic import. It's not always of prophetic import. Remember that there are other statements in the book of Judges where the Lord delivers them for a period of years, and it's not 40. So I would be inclined in this particular instance to say that the 40 years is simply an historical statement and doesn't have any prophetic import like other times where we read about 40 days or 40 years and so on. Okay, so there was a certain man of Zorah, the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. Have you ever noticed in Scripture that very often the Lord chooses folks that are barren to bless? Because in that day, barrenness was considered to be, well, it wasn't only a difficulty, an affliction, it was a stigma. And so the Lord takes those that were stigmatized in that sense, and He blesses them. So we have the apostasy, we have the bondage, and then we have the beginning of what it means to call upon the Lord. And they're going to do that then under this deliverer, Samson. And although we don't have this explicit calling upon the Lord is indeed sending a deliverer. Notice that sometimes when we are in straits or difficulty, when we have sinned and we are suffering under the consequences of it, that the Lord will send deliverance from it to us even before we ask, right? And doesn't the Lord indeed claim to do that? Even before you call, I will be there. I will be ready. I will save, and so on. So there's no record of national crying to the Lord for deliverance. It doesn't mean that they didn't, but it does mean that He keeps His watchful eye, loving eye upon us. The Lord often answers, as I have it here in my notes, prayers that should have been made. Right? Okay, so then the Lord sends a deliverer out of His fatherly and covenantal love for His people, for His visible church. He delivers His people. He cares for them in Christ. And so that this man is from Dan is significant in that at least this is in part of that a fulfillment of that patriarchal prophecy and blessing spoken long ago by dying Jacob upon his son Dan, saying that Dan would be a judge for his people Israel. The term or the name Dan is indeed the word judgment. There are two words for judgment in the Hebrew language. They have some semantic overlap and some difference. You may have heard the term Shaphat, where we get the name Jehoshaphat, right? Jehovah shall judge. That's Jehoshaphat. And then we also have Dan or Daniel, God is judge, and so on. All right, so the angel then of the Lord appears to the woman many times. Really, the angel of the Lord is simply a statement for the messenger of the Lord, angel being messenger there, not a mighty spirit being, but truly the Lord Jesus Christ, Yahweh Himself, the second person of the Trinity, as it is here in this particular passage. Let's make no bones about it. Let's be as clear as we can. it is the opinion of your pastor that this is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ that appears in a pre-incarnate form to Manoah and Mrs. Manoah. Okay? All right, and I think that is borne out by the chapter as it goes forward. All right, so the statement of this angel of the Lord to the woman is most interesting. He says to her that she's going to bear the judge, the deliverer. Now, he will be a Nazarite unto God. In Numbers chapter 6, remember, or sorry, chapter 5, we have the statement of what it means to be a Nazarite. It is a vow of entire dedication to the Lord. And in testimony to that, there were certain things that the Nazarites did not do. Things that were thought of as pleasant. Things that were thought of as comfortable. So they did not drink wine or strong drink. Remember that in Scripture, wine is concomitant with joy. Okay, I know there are other groups that say we should never drink wine. We affirm that drunkenness is most certainly forbidden in Scripture, but wine is not. And that wine indeed is in Scripture often set as a thing of joy, a part of the rejoicing that belongs to God's people. Well, the Nazarites drew back from that in testimony to their entire dedication to the Lord, that they were going to draw back from certain innocent pleasures. The other thing was what? No haircuts, right? Now, we may not think that to be much of a thing today, because we have hairstyles that are varied and all kinds of, but in ancient Israel, for a man not to cut his hair, to let his locks grow long, well, let's just put it this way. They didn't have the same kind of hygiene that we had. And so to let the locks grow long meant a particular unpleasantness. Need I go farther? You understand what I'm talking about? And so while there were some that in their vanity extended their locks, such as Absalom, right? There were those others who extended their locks in humility and dedication to God under the vow of a Nazarite. And it was clear that when they came out of that vow, when the term of that vow was ended, then they would cut their hair. But that it was Samson's duty as one chosen by God to take what was voluntary to everyone else and to receive it to himself as mandatory under the command of God. Yes, God has the authority to command that a man would be a Nazarite from the womb until the day of his death. And so he had that call upon him specifically from the Lord. And then the other thing I would mention, which is not really explicit in the text, it is implicit from the text. Let's remember this, that Samson is considered to be a full human person while he is in the womb, partaking of that Nazarite vow, even through the nourishment that he receives from his mother. And so his mother is told to stay away from wine and strong drink because she doesn't want to break his Nazarite vow, which he participates in from the womb. And so we note the full humanity of the fetus, of the baby, while he is still in the womb of his mother, against the cries of the abortionist today. So Samson is what I called at one point one of those great unborn heroes of the faith, right? Okay, so we move on then. She goes back home and she says, I saw a man of God. His countenance was terrible. We say terrible, that may mean, well, it looked like he's beat with the ugly stick. No, that's not what that means. Terrible means fearful, awesome, right? In the true sense of the word awesome. And so I knew there was something about him, something supernatural. I didn't know what it was, but he said to me all this stuff. He said, I'm going to have a baby. I know we've not been able to do that. And so Manoah says, well, I need to hear this too. And so what does Manoah do? How come the Lord didn't speak to me? No, not at all. What does he do? He hits his knees. He bows before the Lord and he says, Lord, so that we have all the instructions straight, would you be so kind as to appear again? This is a very interesting point, isn't it? That Manoah longs to hear the same commands that his wife has heard. And so what does he do? There's no resentment, nothing like that in the text, only an entreaty of the Lord to come and to speak again. And so he does. Mrs. Manoah is out in the field again. Sounds like she was a busy lady. She kept herself busy. She's out working in the field, and the angel appears to her again, and she says what? Wait right here. Notice the community desire, if you will, between the two, the husband and wife here. Wait right here, and she goes and gets her husband. And so there is a repetition of everything in the ears of Manoah here. And so notice also that the angel is strong to confirm, or very forward to confirm, of everything that I told your wife, so I'm telling you. In other words, there's no difference in the message here. It's not, okay, now that the menfolk are here, we can really talk. Please. There's nothing like that going on. This is what I told her, now I'm telling you. So now you both have it. So now you can both assist and aid each other in these particular designs that I have for your child. Okay, so then it really gets interesting. Manoah says, this is a great blessing that we have from the Lord. I would like to offer an offering to the Lord. So please remain with us while we offer that offering. Now, it may have been that in the language, Manoah had inferred something that he was going to offer this kid to the angel, which would have been okay because the angel is God himself. But the text is very clear to tell us that Manoah did not know that. And so the angel says to him, if you offer anything, you offer unto Yahweh. And then we're told in parenthetical form by the prophet who writes here, because Manoah did not know that he was talking to the Malach Yahweh, the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord being the Lord himself. So then he makes ready this kid, slays it upon the rock, lights the fire, and as the fire goes up, the angel of the Lord goes up as well. And there are two uses of the Hebrew word peleh here that you need to understand. The first one is Manoah says, what is your name so that we may do you honor? Well, he doesn't know that he's the Lord. And so the angel answers him and says, why do you ask after my name, seeing that it is peleh? It is miraculous, wonderful. Imagine how that stopped him. Manoah, wow. So then it says that when Manoah offered up the offering, that the angel did peleh. He did wondrously. So as his name was wonderful, so his actions wonderful. 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 Miraculous. Otherworldly. Divine, if you will. And so then Manoah realizes that the one to whom he and his wife had been speaking was none other than Yahweh himself, the second person of the Trinity, the angel of the Lord. And so Manoah turns to his wife and says, we're dead. And I will only remind you of the several instances in Scripture where the Lord appears to people, and this is always their reaction. We're dead. Whenever the Lord, if you will, peels back the veil and reveals in some sense His glory to His people, quite often their response is, I am undone. Like Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration, blabbing on incessantly because you don't know what to say. In this instance here, we shall surely die because we've seen the Lord. And then note the voice of reason, Mrs. Manoah, who says two things, husband. First, if he was going to kill us, we'd be dead by now. And second, if he was going to kill us, he wouldn't have promised us all these blessings. And so then, they return to their home, and she did have a son, and they called his name Samson, and the child grew, the Lord blessed him, And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. And we'll and the rest of the story then in the book of Judges concerning Samson are his movements between Zorah and Eshtaol as he fought against the Philistines. And we note here that the Spirit of the Lord moved him. And so you may hear me say some things in the chapters that ensue that would be unlawful for us to pursue. And perhaps even in Samson were not rightly held. And yet it was the Spirit of the Lord in his sovereignty and purpose moving Samson to do things that would be unlawful for others to do. Okay? All right. Thus ends the reading of Judges chapter 13.